A long time ago was a Yid named Reb Akiva. This is not Reb Rabbi Akiva, who lived a few thousand years ago in the end of the second base of Mikdash. This is Reb Akiva, who lived a few hundred years ago. And Reb Akiva sold pots and pans for a living. Now, this is how they used to do it. How did they do advertising for pots and pans? How did they get business? You take a pot or a pan with a spoon, and you go walking down the street, and you start hawking it. Bang, bang, bang. Who wants to buy a pot? Who wants to buy a pan? And the lady, the mommy in the kitchen who's cooking, and she says, ooh, I need a pot or a pan. And she hears the clinking and the banging. And she hears the person saying, who wants to buy a pot or a pan? So she goes out to the street. And she says, how much is that pot? How much is that pan? And maybe she's going to buy a pot or a pan. So maybe Reb Akiva will sell a pot or a pan or a few pots and pans. And that's how he made a few rubles for his family. Now, once a year, or maybe more than once a year, he would go to a big fair, a big like marketplace in a big city. He lived in a small town, and he would pack up pots and pans on the wagon, or maybe schlep them on his back, a whole bunch of them, and he would go far away to a big city or a big town, and they have a lot of people selling and buying over there, and he would set up a little store, like a little booth, or from his wagon, and he would clink and clank his pots and pans. Who wants to buy pots and pans? And of course, a lot of people would come. It's a big city. There's a lot of people shopping. And he would get his money and bring it home, and he would have a lot of money for his family from that, selling the pots and pans. And once a year, for sure, he went to the biggest fair, the biggest marketplace in the town or the city of Berdichev. Did you ever hear of Berdichev? And over there he would spend a few weeks, and he would work very hard selling pots and pans. And he would be away from his family for a long time. But there he would get the most money of the whole year, and he would bring it back to his family. And he was able to live from that money for a long time and have time to learn and daven, because he made a lot of money during that time of his of the year. Now, Reb Akiva got old, and he now wants to do his dream. He wants to live his dream, and the dream of many Jews was to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, nowadays, some boys say, well, I went to Eretz Yisrael in a plane, and I came back. You know, it's much easier. In those days, to go to Eretz Yisrael meant usually that you leave your home, and you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of your life. It was a dream. And Reb Akiva packed up his stuff. And he says, now I'm going to go to move to Eretz Yisrael, to spend the rest of my days in Eretz Yisrael. That's what I want to do. That's my dream. Well, how much stuff can he take to Eretz Yisrael? He packs up his most important things. And a lot of things he either sold to people in his town, because he couldn't take everything with him, furniture and stuff. You can't schlep it all with you on wagons and boats and walking on foot and going in caravans or however they got there, on camels and stuff like that, and donkeys. And his sfarim, he could not take all of his sfarim. And he knew in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, there are Talmidei Chachamim and Yidden that have sfarim, and there are shuls that have sfarim, so he will not take all of his sfarim. And he donated them to the shul. And he only took a few sfarim with him. And now he goes on his way. And everybody made almost like a parade for him because they loved him so much. He was a man that everybody loved, Reb Akiva. He was a very nice, kind person. And everybody loved him and respected him. And they made him at Seischem L'Shalom, like a party to say goodbye. And he left. And he went away. Now it says he went. Doesn't say his wife and kids, his whole family, it's maybe his family went or not, it's not important in this story. The idea was he left, and everybody said goodbye, and of course they thought, well, you know, we're never going to see him again. He's going far, far away to Eretz Yisrael. It takes many days and weeks to get there, and that's it. And he was an older man. He was an old man at that time. And about a year later, all of a sudden, one day, they see coming into the town Rebbe Akiva. Oui. He came back from Eretz Yisrael. He was going there to live. He took all of his stuff. He sold everything. He packed up. He was going to move away. Oh, maybe he never got there. Why is he coming back? But they were excited to see him. Rebbe Akiva, is that you? Yes, Shalom Aleichem. Did you go to Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, I went there. Really? Yerushalayim you went? Yeah. Tzfas? Yes. Tiberia? Miron? Hebron? I went to all the places. Well, weren't you going to live there? Well, yes. Well, why are you coming back? Are you just back to visit? Well, I don't know. I had to come back. Well, why'd you come back? Well, I mean, it's a whole crowd around him. And they see he wasn't saying exactly, you know, right away why he was coming back. Well, why'd you come back, Rabbi Akiva? Why'd you come back? Well, I forgot something. You forgot something? What did you forget? I forgot my sitter. What? I mean, you forgot your sitter? You're coming back from Eretz Yisrael because you forgot your sitter? Yeah, I forgot my sitter. By mistake, I left it in shul. Wait a minute. Don't they have sidurim in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, they do. So you mean you came all the way back from Eretz Yisrael for your sitter? Yeah, my sitter, I left it in shul by mistake. When I gave my svarim to the shul, by mistake, my sitter was given to the shul, and I was supposed to take it with me. I forgot my sitter. People are talking, they're wondering. What's going on? A person comes back hundreds or thousands of miles on a dangerous trip. One way, all the way there, he gets there and he comes back and he's already an old man and he was going there to live because he forgot his sitter? Does this make sense to you? Yeah. Oh boy, people were wondering what's going on. Well, Rebbe Akiva went right to the shul and he says to the gabbai, do you remember when I gave all of my sfarim to the shul, the ones I was not taking with me? Well, by mistake, I left my sitter. Could I please get it back? Okay, well, let's look through the Siddurim. And they look through the Siddurim, and sure enough, they find a Siddur with Rev Akiva's name in it. Here's your Siddur. Oh, Baruch Hashem, thank you. And he gives a kosher Siddur. Well, he finds a place to live. I guess he sold his house already. He finds another place to live. And people are wondering, well, I guess now he's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, right? He's got a Siddur. A few days later, you know, they expect he's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And he's not going. Rebbe Akiva, are you going back to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. I don't feel so well, actually. It's a long trip, and I don't feel so well. I think I'm going to stay here at least for a while anyway. And a few days go by, and they don't see Rebbe Akiva anymore in the street. They go to his house. Rebbe Akiva! We're just kind of concerned. We haven't seen you. Oh, I'm in bed. I don't feel well. Oh, can we bring you some food, some tea? Do you need medicine, a doctor? Well, if you don't mind, maybe that would be a good idea. And the doctor comes and he checks Rebbe Akiva and he says, Rebbe Akiva, I think this is an illness that is not just a cold, it's not just a boo-boo or something. We better get you some special medicine right away. It looks kind of serious. And sure enough, Rebbe Akiva is getting worse. And it looks like he's going to pass away. Oi, Rebbe Akiva. He's going to... Oh no, it looks very not good. Oh, it's too bad. He went to Eretz Yisrael to live out his life. He comes back, he forgets his sitter. And now... it looks like he's just going to be here instead of there. Very strange thing going on. And finally it came the time that Rabbi Akiva called for the Chevre Kedisha. Do you know who the Chevre Kedisha is? Actually, in every neighborhood, even in our neighborhood, who takes care of a person that passes away? You know who takes care? There are special people that actually volunteer, nobody makes them do it, And they have one of the biggest mitzvahs, if not the biggest mitzvah, of taking care of a person that will pass away or that passes away. And they do all the stuff for him, all the things that have to be done. And why is it such a big mitzvah? Because if a person's alive and you help him, they can help you back. If a person passes away, can they help you? I mean, the person passed away. I mean, they're mamish. These people are very, very special people. It could be your tatis or even mommies, because mommies do it for ladies and tatis do it for men. Some people volunteer for the Chevra Kedisha, like people volunteer for Hatzalah. Nobody makes them do the Hatzalah. They volunteer. They want to have the mitzvah of helping Yidden. The Chevra Kedisha was called to Rabbi Akiva's house because they know his time is very limited, and any minute he is going to go into the next world. And it's very important that he tells them whatever he wants them to do for him. Because now he can speak, later on he will not be able to. And the Chevra Kedisha came to his house. Now listen very carefully. Rabbi Akiva says, well, before I pass away, I want to tell you a few very important things. First of all, everyone is wondering, why did I come back from Eretz Yisrael? And I told you because I forgot my sitter. Well, that is true, but there's more to it than that. Bring me my sitter, please. And they brought him his sitter. He says, please, in the sitter, open up. There's a special place where there's like two papers glued together, like a pocket. Open up the pocket and please take out the paper inside. It's like a secret pocket in the sitter. They opened up the secret pocket in the sitter. They took out a paper. And he says, I'm going to explain this paper, and this is why I came back, not just for the sitter, but for the paper in the sitter, and I must tell you before I pass away what to do with this paper in the sitter. Now he's going to tell them about this paper in the sitter, and this is what he came back for from Eretz Yisrael, because he forgot it in his sitter. Who is ready to hear the story inside of a story from the paper that's inside of the sitter? The sitter's inside of the paper. The paper's inside of this sitter. The sitter's inside of this story. The story is inside of a story, so you have to keep track of everything that's going on and not get mixed up. So who's ready to hear the story that's inside of this story, that's about the paper that's inside of the sitter, that's in the pocket, that the sitter's in this story, and all these things are going on at one time? Oh, so much things to hold cup. Okay, so Reb Akiva starts, and he says like this. Everyone knows that once a year, I used to go to Berdichev to sell pots and pans. Well, of course, I wasn't just selling pots and pans in Berdichev, because in Berdichev was the great tzaddik Levi Yitzchak Berdichever. Who heard of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, the great halakha tzaddik, that there are many stories about him? Shh. Okay, this is one of the stories about him. He says, in the morning, Levi Yitzchak Berdichever's house used to be open. Whoever would want to can go into his house in the morning. Now, what would they go into his house for? Levi Yitzchak Berdichev in the morning used to say Birchas HaShachar, the brachas of the morning. Now, how many boys say Birchas HaShachar? Levi Yitzchak Berdichev used to say in the morning Birchas HaShachar, the brachas of the morning, like we say. Right? The brachas of the morning. Hanaisen lasach v'ilvina l'havchin b'enyim v'ein layla p'keach hivrim. Right? All those brachas. Well, of course. I mean, everybody says brachas in the morning, right? Well, whoever wanted to could go in and watch him and listen to him and answer Baruch Hu V'ruch Shmoy and Amen. And it was a very halakha thing to see the tzaddik say the brachas of the morning in his house. And people used to just go and watch him and listen and have the schus to answer to his brachas. So Rabbi Akiva said, I also used to go into his house to watch him. And one day Rabbi Akiva says, I was sitting in the house of Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. And all of a sudden a man came running in screaming, upset and he's angry. And he says, my money was stolen from the hotel. Thousands of rubles were stolen from the hotel. My money was stolen from the hotel. And Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev says, what's going on? What happened? And he says, he is a buyer. You know what a buyer is? I'll tell you what a buyer is.
I know.
He came from a town far away. Everybody gave him money to buy stuff. It wasn't his own money. The fruit man said, go to Berdichev and buy me bags of fruit. The vegetable man said, buy me bags of vegetables. The wine man said, buy me barrels and barrels of wine. The mashke man said, buy me barrels of mashke. The clothes man said, buy me clothes. The pots and pans man said, buy me pots and pans. And different people said, buy me this and buy me that. And everybody gave him money because he's going to go and do the shopping. And he's going to take all of their money, do the shopping, load the stuff on his wagon, take it back to his town, give all the stuff to the people, and he gets paid for doing that. That's a job. And he says, the money was stolen. I stayed in the hotel, and the money was stolen, and now I don't have the money. And what's going to happen to me? Because, first of all, so much money is gone, and it didn't belong to me. And those people will not get their stuff. And then I won't get paid, and I won't make a living. Oh, I give out. And Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev said, do you have any idea who did it? Oh, yes, I know who did it. There's a lady who comes in the room, and she makes the beds, and she cleans, and she takes care, and she cooks, and she works there. She did it for sure, because she comes into the room. And Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev called his people that were in his house, his shamish, or whoever takes care, and he sends them to the hotel, and he says, bring the lady here who works in the hotel. Now, the lady comes from the hotel. Now, she also had known that the money was stolen, and she had known that this man is accusing her, because he was screaming at her in the hotel. And she was crying because she said she didn't do it. And she even brought her Tati, who was the water carrier in Berdichev, doesn't say his name. And her father came with her now to the house of Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev, because the father found out that the tzaddik Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev called his daughter to come to his house. And she's crying. She says, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And the man, the buyer, is screaming, you took the money, you took the money. Who else goes in my room? You took the money. And the father says, she didn't take any money. She's an honest girl. She's a poor girl and she works very hard. You leave her alone and don't accuse her of something that you didn't see that she did. She wouldn't steal. And she's crying and the father is upset and the buyer is yelling. And it must be a good story because there's sirens outside and noise. And maybe the bee will come through the window and fly around. And maybe even the doggies will start barking because whenever I tell a good story, it's noisy. And all of a sudden, Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev says, well, could anybody else have taken the money? And the girl says, no. And the man says, well, maybe the hotel man took the money. Now, the hotel man also has keys to the room. Levi Yitzchak Mendeleev said, call the hotel man. And now they call the hotel man. And the buyer says, well, maybe you took the money, because after all, you have the keys to the room. And the hotel man, he knew that the money was stolen. He starts screaming, I didn't take the money. You're accusing me? I give you a nice room in my hotel and food, and you're accusing me of taking the money? I didn't do it. Probably the girl took it, because she goes in the room. The girl says, I didn't do it. And her father says, she didn't do it. And the buyer says, well, maybe you did it, to the hotel man. I didn't do it. The girl did it. And now the girl says, well, I didn't do it. And the father says, well, she didn't do it. And everybody's blaming each other. And the hotel man says, and you're blaming me? Maybe you took it. He says to the buyer, I took the money. How could I take the money? The money was stolen from me. I wouldn't come here if the money was stolen. How can you say I took it? I don't have it. Aha. Well, probably you had it, and now you're hiding it, and you're saying that somebody took it in order that everybody should believe the money is gone, and you keep the money for yourself, and you go back to your town, and you say I have no money because it was stolen, and you're blaming the girl, and you're blaming me, and really you have the money, and in secret you go spend it, and everybody will think you were robbed, so you don't have the money, but you really do have the money, so you have the money. No, you have the money. No, you have the money. I don't have the money. I didn't do it. The father says, she didn't do it. And everybody's pointing at each other and saying this and that. A big mess. Like what happened by Gan Eden. The Abishter comes to Adam. You ate from the tree. Why did you do that? Ah, it was not my fault. The lady made me do it. It's not my fault. My wife made me do it. It's not my fault. Don't look at me. Don't get upset at me. And then he goes to the lady. You got your husband to eat from the tree, and you ate from the tree. It's not my fault. Snakey did it. He made me do it. Everybody's blaming everybody else. And that's what's happening over here. Everybody is blaming everybody else. And Levi Yitzchak Avodishev gives a klap of Tish. Well, wait a minute over here. It doesn't look to me that the girl took the money. And the girl stopped crying. And her father was calm. And it does not look to me like the hotel man took the money. Because he's an honest hotel man, and there's never been any complaints about him. And it doesn't seem that the buyer took the money, because he seems to be a fine Jew, and he wouldn't just come up with a lie like this. How could a Jew lie like this? But the money has been gone. But the money is gone. What are we going to do? All of a sudden, Levi Yitzchak Avodishev announced in his... All of a sudden, Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev announced in his house, and there were other people. There were people that were watching the brachas of the morning, and there were people that came in from the street because they heard all the commotion and all the yelling and screaming. So when they were walking by and the door was open, they also came in. There was a whole crowd of people in the house. And Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev says, whoever will put the money on the table, we're not saying you took the money, all we're saying is, whoever will put the money on the table, because this man needs money to go buy things for the people that gave him money. And we need to make sure that the girl is not blamed anymore, not the hotel man. But we need money now. Whoever will put the money on the table, I will guarantee that he will get to go to Olam Haba. After 120 years, he will have a guarantee. You know what a guarantee is? I assure him, for sure, like a promise, almost like a promise. I can't say it's like a promise, you're not allowed to promise. But I guarantee that this person, whoever puts the money on the table, will get to go for sure to Olam Haba. He will have a for sure ticket to Olam Haba. And when people heard this, they started thinking, wow, really, any other time, a person is never sure they really get to go to Olam Haba. Maybe they'll do something wrong, chas v'shalom, and who knows, a person is so sure he gets to go to Olam Haba. But now they have a promise from a tzaddik, a guarantee from a tzaddik that for sure they get to go to Olam Haba. All of a sudden, Rebbe Kiva, remember Rebbe Kiva's in this story and he was in that house? The pots and pans man? He thinks to himself, I have that money in my pocket. Now, chas v'shalom, not that he took the money. He had the money from working so hard, selling the pots and pans, and all of that money was going to be... All of that money he had saved up from all of his hard work. Traveling different places, coming to Berditchev to sell pots and pans. This is his parnaseh for a whole year, is in his pocket that he had worked so hard for and saved up. And he had that amount of money in his pocket. And right away... He reaches in his pocket and he goes to the table and he puts down the money on the table. Even risking the fact that somebody might think, ooh, how does he have so much money? Maybe he took it. He didn't care. He hears a promise from a tzaddik that he will get to go to Olam Haba. And actually, before he actually places it on the table, he asks Levi Yitzchak Avodishev, will you give it to me in writing? Will you write it down? And the tzaddik says, yes, I'm going to write it down. And he asked for one of his people, his helpers, to get a piece of paper or a cloth, whatever they had, a parchment and a pen. And he wrote down, the person that has this note, when he goes to the Shemayim, they should open the gates of Gan Eden for this person. Whoever is holding this note, they will open up the gates. They must. The Malachim that are in charge of the gates of Gan Eden must open the gates of Gan Eden for this person and let him in no matter what. And he wrote it down. And the money, the buyer took the money and he was so happy. And Levi Yitzchak says, nobody should ever say a bad word about this girl. She's innocent. And he gave her a bracha, a nice bracha, and she calmed down, and the father was happy, and everybody went away happy. And Levi Yitzchak Abedichev gave the note to Rebbe Kiva, and he took that note with him. Now, the next day, Rebbe Kiva came again to Levi Yitzchak Abedichev's house in the morning to hear the tzaddik say, Birchais HaShachar. And when he came in the door, Levi Yitzchak called him over and he says, Rebbe Kiva, last night, after everybody left, of course that was yesterday morning, but during the night somebody came and knocked on my door. A man that I had never seen before. And he was crying. I let him in the house and he admitted that he was the one that stole the money. It was the first time he ever stole anything. And he says the Yetzirah came to him and he couldn't hold himself back. He had a chance to go in the room and took the money and take the money. He had a chance to go in the room and take the money. He took the money. And actually he came in the house when he heard the whole commotion going on and he saw what happened. And when he saw you, Rebbe Kiva, take your own money and put it on the table to help the girl and to help the buyer and to help the father and to save the whole situation, he became so ashamed of himself that he had stolen the money, he decided he was going to give it back. And he gave the money back. And Levi Yitzchak Abedichev opened the drawer and he took out the entire amount of money that Rebbe Kiva had given from his own yesterday. And he said, you can get your money back now. Only you'll have to give me back the note that I gave you yesterday that I wrote. Now, do you think Rabbi Kiva is going to give back the note that he gets a promise to have Olam Haba and get his money back? Or do you think he's going to keep the note and not take the money? What do you think he's going to do? He kept the note. He says, I don't want to give back the note. I already gave the money. I have the note. For nothing in this world will I give away this note. Because, of course, what is worth more? A few thousand rubles or Olam Haba? And Levi Yitzchak Abedichev said, so what should we do with the money? He says, why don't you give it to the poor girl? After all, she was so fashemt, she was so embarrassed and made shame to be accused of stealing the money. And you gave her a nice bracha yesterday. Let's give her the money. And Levi Yitzchak Abedichev gave a big smile. He was very happy. He says, that's a good idea. And he says to Rebbe Kiva, this is what you must do with the note. First of all, do not tell anybody in this world that you have this note. Put it away in a secret place, in a good place. And only the last day of your life, when you know it's right before you'll pass away, you will tell the Chevra Kadisha to put the note in your hand when they put you in the ground. Because when a person passes away, the Chevra Kadisha make the Levaya and they put the person in the ground. And usually you're not allowed to be buried with anything. Levi Yitzchak Abedichev said, you will have the note in your hands. They will give you that note in your hands. And you will tell them, this is what I said. And now Rebbe Kiva is in his bed and he's about to pass away. And he tells the Chevra Kadisha this. And of course, they took the note. And they did what he said after he passed away. And now everybody understood why he came back all the way back from Eretz Yisrael. Because not only he forgot his sitter, he forgot that special note in the sitter, and he knew he needed that for the last day in his life. And of course, he didn't know exactly where that would be, but it happened back in his hometown. We have a good question now.
What did he go to Adam Abba?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Only the neshama understood, but one thing for sure, everybody loved to listen to Reb Hillel Parcher because he was a big halakha tzaddik and a halakha chassid, and wherever he would go, people would come to hear him. Now, what day would he go? He would go on a Sunday, on a Monday, a Tuesday. He would go every day. Of course, Shabbos he would spend somewhere, and he would not